Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
How are you this morning, Dr. Paul?
I am doing well, thank you,
yes.
And ready and raring to go.
Yes.
There's still a problem or two out there. I still think that we should not forget about foreign policy. But it sort of is down on the list of concerns of the American people, and this coronavirus is in our face and in the face of everybody, and it seems like there's a lot of misinformation that we deal with, and we want to deal with it again, because obviously our position has been that there is over concern for what's happening. We don't belittle the seriousness of it, but there's a lot of reporting and fear-mongering going on and overreaction, and we talked about more people dying from the reaction to the virus than they do from the virus itself. I really believe that, because some of the things that we're doing aren't supported by science, and people die about it, but it's harder to count who dies because they had a heart attack, because they weren't allowed to do such and such and had to put on a mask, things like that. And that we'll probably never know. We'll know better as time goes on, but there's certainly a lot of people who suffer from the lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to put this in a perspective. I want to start by reading a sort of a list that Zero Hedge, who does a lot of reporting on this, they have a list of the news on what's going on and the concerns that people have, and we'll probably be talking to about some of these along the way. But this is this to me expresses a concern that we're a long way off from. Let's just go back to school. Let's just go back to normal life again.
Yeah.
Even though we think there's room for that argument, it doesn't look like that's happening, because there's still a lot of concern about going back to work and going back to school and a lot of other things, which very often I think are totally unnecessary. But let me just start with this little list that came out this morning. They quote Fauci saying, "I never saw a virus with so many symptoms." You know, well, that's interesting, but I think I've seen viruses with a lot of symptoms,
yeah,
too, and they're different for different people. But I think there's about four or five symptoms for coronavirus that people recognize, and that people, you know, that I visited with and knew about, they had it, and they can be very precise in what the symptoms are. So I don't know why that has to be astounding. I don't think that's an astounding statement. And here goes one. Now, U.S. reports 60,000 new cases on Tuesday. Well, we'll probably qualify that again. We've talked,
yeah,
about new cases. What does that really mean? But here's one. New Jersey, this looks like it might be new. New Jersey orders mandatory mask wearing outside. So I guess it's been around, but the whole question is really, this leads to people on the beach. Even when there's hardly anybody around, they have to wear a mask, or they could get into trouble.
Yeah,
there may be a,
yeah,
policeman nearby. But that's still in the news. U.S. coronavirus cases top 3 million. Once again, the definition of cases, that should be considered. U.S. reports 44 new cases on Tuesday, 44,000 new cases. So they use the word cases rather generously, and people should know about positive tests and cases, people sick, and this sort of thing. So sometimes the headlines are there for a purpose to scare a few people. 56 Florida ICU units, full capacity. I'd like to see the details of,
yeah,
that, because,
yeah,
you hear one thing, over capacity, they're filled up. And even during the height of this, it was said, and all the beds that they had were astounding how many beds were available, and there was never an overflow. They had empty beds, and the doctors couldn't even be busy enough.
Yeah.
So that was a lot of disinformation that we were getting. Texas hospital occupancy at more than 90%. We talked about that too, because we know that a year ago it was much worse. It was much fuller. But anyway, that's news. That's still in the news. The world reports 5,000 new deaths. Well, deaths are, how do they measure it? What's,
yeah,
the accuracy? And is everybody counting the same way? Is it the same way now as it was a year ago? Because I don't think there probably hasn't been any deaths from influenza this year.
No, zero.
You know, yeah, because it's always thrown in together.
Corona.
And if you're in a car accident and you're positive, you know what they do. They call it the virus. The U.S. is the highest daily death toll since June 9th. Well, yeah, since June 9th, and once again, defining the deaths and the cause and all, that's been so, so distorted. Brazil's president, you know, presidents are special people, you know, and in this case, I'm glad he was special enough because he got to take hydroxychloroquine, which is, to me, I believe, is a very beneficial drug when used properly and early on, and somebody who's been familiar with the drug. But no, we basically have been trying to outlaw it in this country and make Trump look ridiculous for having taken it. So, but the Brazil president is taking it. Now, Trump gets into it, and we'll talk about this, I think, a little bit later on. Trump demands school reopen.
Yeah.
Well, it's a shame that the president of the United States has to urge the country when you go back to school. Well, when I was in school, you got out on Memorial Day and you went back on Labor Day. That's happened in public school. It was happened for 12 years. It was that way all the time. But all of a sudden, and we did have illnesses back then. When I was in grade school, we had all the childhood illnesses, and sometimes your classrooms would be partially filled. But anyway, they right now are saying that the president, which I'm not criticizing him for saying, is sort of sad
that
the president has to explain to these school teachers and others. But I think we'll talk about that some more. But we need to mention about, you know, who's really worried and who's holding up the people going to school, because it's not exactly the parents aren't saying, don't go back, I'm afraid for my kids. That is not exactly what's happening.
No, a lot of the teachers, I mean, they're getting paid sitting home in their pajamas watching TV, and they love it. The teachers' unions are very powerful, and they say, oh, we feel fear about going back to school. Well, what about the checkout people and all the other people that have to go to work? Sorry, that's, you know, how it works. But a couple of things you brought up, and you said before we started that we probably could go through and refute every one of these scare headlines that they put up. But there's just a couple that struck me as you were reading that. First of all, and this is something we should talk about, because there is a real misnomer going on. There's a real bait and switch going on. Because when they say new cases, how many, 60,000 new cases, those are not cases, those are positive tests. If you test for an antibody, if you test for the presence of a virus in your body, but you're not sick, how are you a case? You know, I don't know. Have you ever heard of that before, that you're a case even before you're sick?
Yeah, but what about the subject that, what is it, how reliable are the positive tests?
Yeah, yeah.
And we have evidence now, and we'll talk about that. But the tests cannot be totally reliable, and there are different types of tests. Different people are doing it. It's miscellaneous. There's profits to be made by it. It's really, you know, the whole thing on the definition. So there's a lot of misinformation floating around this whole issue.
And all the thing about the death, which is important, is that U.S. is one of the few countries in the world that count deaths with COVID as deaths from COVID. Everyone says, why is the U.S. doing so badly? And even some European countries are snickering, you Americans think you're so hot. Well, you got the worst death of anyone. But, you know, Dr. Birx, you know, told us in April, we're counting death with COVID as deaths from COVID. And that's why I think our numbers are so awfully high. The New Jersey thing, you think, oh, the governor has just said everyone's got to wear a face mask outside. And I ran over to Worldometers, because that's what we use for our daily deaths and daily new cases. And I thought, wow, there must be something crazy happening in New Jersey. And I looked over here, and I didn't have time to put up the graphic, but anyone can go look at it. Look at this, Dr. Paul. Here's the daily deaths, and here's the daily cases. Almost zero. So how does he justify intruding on the lives of his citizens of New Jersey like this? It's just astonishing what these people are doing.
And we've talked about this, maybe not on the program, but it's how do they get so well organized? You know, because we are convinced that it's pretty standardized to have fear mongering going on here, and they're not being objective, and yet it's pretty well organized on how they report these things. You know, we ask questions, and they're legitimate questions, but they just go on. Our own governor does this. You know, he'll say things and make it sound much worse than it really is, and it's used to always argue the case. See, the underlying theme of all this is justification in making the people frightened and make them look to the government to take care of them. They want taken care of, and if they're scared, then it's up to the government to do something about it. And I think that, of course, there's ulterior motives for that, various reasons for that. But I think ultimately the one big one is conditioning us to be obedient and servants to the state. You know, if you compare it a little bit to 9/11 and TSA, that, there was justified reasons to do something, but not a justified reason to create a TSA government agency that never did anything good since then.
Yeah.
It hasn't prevented anything, but guess what? It made us obedient at the airports.
Yeah.
This is what this is doing here, obedience on health matters. This is major, what's happening, the transition on the grasp that the government has. And they've warned us, and the people are scared. And it's a lot of people who are really super scared and think masks are the saving grace, never ask any questions. You know, they think this is very, very important. There's various motivations for this.
There is various motivations. You know, a lot of the argument goes like this. Well, you put on your seatbelts to save lives, so why not put on a mask? Well, seatbelts are objectively shown to save a life. If you get in a crash and you have a seatbelt on, you have a much, you know, we have years and years of data, a much higher chance of surviving that. With face masks, we don't have the science. In fact, a lot of the science, and I'm sure you've seen some of these tests, Dr. Paul, well, they'll measure the oxygen that they're breathing in when they have a mask on. And you'll see that there's one guy who did an OSHA, you know, test on it. And it went down to dangerous levels. The alarm went off, was it Del Bigtree, the talk show host here in Texas? He did it with his son, and the same thing went down. So we don't know. That doesn't count, So the argument doesn't hold a lot of weight, and neither does the argument about the testing. And actually, this is why we have the headline, because this caught our attention, especially you, Dr. Paul, how much you like baseball. Here's Joey Gallo. He's an outfielder for the Texas Rangers. He doesn't know what to do because he's gotten two positive and two negative results within the last 10 days. All he wants to do is play some baseball. On June 27th, he took a saliva test, and it showed the presence of coronavirus. He had no symptoms the whole time. June 29th, a nasal swab, negative. July 2nd, another saliva test, positive. And then he tested negative again. Interestingly enough, his agent, Gallo's agent, has another player that he manages who is in the same situation. And these guys are not anti-testing. They're not anti-COVID. They just want to play baseball, and they want to get a clear picture. But the test seems so inaccurate, and there's an example of it. So are the numbers worth anything?
You know, in this country, they do 10,000 polls every day,
yeah,
especially in the politics. Do you think this? One item comes up, then there's a poll. But I haven't seen a poll on this. And ask the people, because there's other people who like baseball, you know. And ask the question to a general audience. If they said tomorrow they're opening up the ball field, we're down to essentially zero. And if you really have a more definite definition of a death due to coronavirus, and they're saying, look, we are opening up, and the teams decide, and the players decide, yes, we're ready to go because we believe it's going to be safe. Would you go to the game?
Yeah.
I bet there'd be very few say, oh, no, I'm not going because they're being misled and all this sort of thing. But there's no feel for that other than the fact that the people in charge of fear-mongering sort of controls a lot of that, because they say, well, yeah, but what if you open up the ballpark and 10 people get this coronavirus? And of course, people who should be watching, they have the right to surely stay away. You know, there are some people who definitely shouldn't go.
Definitely.
But they shouldn't be taking. They couldn't. They shouldn't be giving free tickets to the nursing homes to take them to the baseball game.
Yeah.
Get them outside and enjoy the sunshine.
Yeah, but not in so close proximity. But you know, you said this before the show. The reason why everyone is panicked, and I went to a store here locally the other yesterday. Every single other person had a face mask on, and they were all like zombies droning around because they believe that the media pounds them over the head with every day. If you test positive, you will die. You know, and that's the idea, whereas in reality, and these are just objective numbers, that this COVID-19, in terms of the total death rate is about on line with a normal flu. If you take out this anomaly of the rest homes, which is a whole other issue, it's actually a lot less deadly. And I just don't think people, Americans understand this.
You know, Trump made a statement about how unlikely you are to die just because you have a positive test. And he quoted the number, and they can vary a little bit, but it sounded like, holy man, hardly any people, because it was like 99%.
Yeah.
And that means a half a percent of people, still a lot of people. But boy, did they come down hard on him for saying that. And he was probably a lot closer to talking science than the people who are condemning him. The same way it is with chloroquine. You know, he has spoken out on that. He even admitted he took it. And yet, the scientists, this is really bugs me, is when the scientists and the doctors, and Fauci doesn't deserve to be called a scientist.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an insult to scientists, because you can find good scientists, and occasionally they are appearing on television now. You know, I think Fox is doing better. I haven't seen it on the other one, but there are more people out there that have a more balanced approach from a scientific point of view. But what are they going to do if the cases go down to near zero and the deaths go down to near zero? What are they going to do? Why should the people say, hey, wait a minute? Then they might think, well, maybe the school thing, maybe Daniel has his point there. Maybe it has something to do with the teachers union. You know, that might be it. Because I think the kids are ready to go back. I think the parents are ready to send them back. And I just don't think that all of a sudden, if the schools had never closed, I don't think the world would have been worse off for it. I really don't. But because it would have been the first time they ever closed schools down like this for an infection. And they're arguing the case that this is the most deadly virus we've ever had, which isn't true.
The death rate for children is virtually zero. I mean, there have been a very small handful of people. But speaking of propaganda, now that you bring it up, let's look at the today's death totals for the United States. It's the next JPEG. And yes, you do see a little bit of spike, and this is a 24-hour delay, so this is of yesterday. And this is essentially delayed reporting over the 4th of July weekend. You see over the 4th of July, it's very low. And if you go backwards a couple of days after Memorial Day, you see that previous spike. So yes, it looks like there was a slight increase yesterday in reporting of deaths. But overall, still, this holds, which is that deaths are decreasing, which is very good news. We would think it's good news, Dr. Paul. We always think it's good news. But look at the next clip, because not everyone thinks the way we do. Here's Bloomberg. A lower COVID-19 death rate is nothing to celebrate. This is amazing. Even when the
why they put it up?
This is the poster child for media scaremongering. Okay, we got it. All right, the death rate's going down, but don't you dare celebrate that. There's still a lot of things to be terrified about.
We look for the positive things. Maybe this is what will happen. Maybe our information and what we talk about wins out in the end. Unfortunately, it will be after so much harm was done, you know, with lockdowns, both to the economy and medically speaking. But let's say that in a year or two from now, the people wake up and they say, you know what, those people who cautioned us and said that this was not a real big deal, you know, why did I get sucked in and believe this stuff that the government say? Maybe they will be, more cautious.
Yeah.
Maybe, because at the beginning of all this, we made the point, you know, people don't believe the government. They don't trust the government. And yet they're believing every word they say that's essentially coming from the government. And who are the officials doing the lockdown? It's a competition. Who writes the last rule, which should be challenged on the practicality of it, the legality of it, the constitutionality of it, and the medical consequence of what they're doing. They just roll over. So I would suggest for people to pay attention and find out how this ends, and maybe people will then be more cautious in believing everything the government tells them. And that's a fertile field out there, because if you did a poll like that, How about skepticism of the people, of what the government tells you? How much can you believe? You know, the whole political spectrum, because we're bankrupt and the governments can't fulfill any of their promises. And even if it's just a moral promise, they usually, fall down on that as well. So I think that I'm always hoping that this will be a lesson learned, but it remains to be seen. And the fact that there are more people talking about it in a skeptical way, I think is good.
It is good, but unfortunately not all is good, because Texas is in such a strange situation. We talk about it a lot. It's not just because we're here, because we think it's a very important state. Politically, it's a very important state, and I think that has something to do with it. But it is in a strange situation. The hospitalizations we've talked about, new cases are up, but as we've also talked about, and as we know from the directors of the Houston hospitals, that when you go in for these long-delayed procedures that you need to have, and some of those people are sick because they didn't get their dialysis or whatever they need for a long time. When they go in, they're sick, but they're tested immediately for COVID, and if they test positive, they become COVID patients. And why is that? And you've said this before, because you get more federal money if you've got more COVID patients. That certainly is part of it. So Texas is in a strange situation. It has definitely seen an increase in cases, but this is causing some counties in Texas to go completely bonkers. And let's look at the next clip, Dr. Paul. I thought this was a joke. I didn't even believe this. If you test positive in two places in Texas, a county and a city, you are subject to arrest. Not only subject to arrest, but you're subject to being charged with a Class 3 felony under the Texas Penal Code Chapter 22, which is deadly conduct. A person commits an offense if he recklessly engages in conduct that places another in imminent danger of serious bodily injury. And that's what they're doing. And let's look at the next one, because one is Laredo, and what's the other county, Dr.
Brown?
Brown County. Here's a Laredo. Positive coronavirus residents who leave their homes can be charged with felony. So if you go and get your test and it comes back positive, and we have serious questions about the accuracy of the test, and you got to go to the post office, you got to go get some milk, you got to get some food, you could be arrested and become a felon, never be able to vote again, buy a gun, all these things you can't do.
I'm going to make a minor correction for myself. I think it's Brooke.
Brooke, yeah,
Brooke,
sorry.
Yeah, okay.
I lost it, yeah.
But this to me is astounding, that you can be criminalized so easily. And this whole thing about, in one way, on this particular issue, this wouldn't apply to some other issues, but on this particular issue, Trump was more conservative. You know, he was backing off. Don't get panicky and don't do these things, and was guiding people in the right direction. But I'm amazed at the local officials, like these county commissioners and mayors of city, and they just love it. And it isn't always just, the lefties. There's the righties there, too, and they're doing it. It must be this temptation that they can't resist of being a powerful and authoritarian. That must be like a contagion. It must be like a virus that they get. And I have this power to do this, and I'll put them in jail and all that. Every once in a while, though, you'll run into a mayor or a governor that stands up to it, and a sheriff once in a while standing up and say, look, This is not right. This is breaking my oath of office. I'm not going to do it. Even if I need to deputize people, we're not going to force people to do this. Besides, what they're doing, how are they going to figure out who's been tested positive or not? That's why they want your badge, your vaccine, where they can wave a wand on there. Yeah, he's tested positive. He can't come in. And then there'll be a record kept. How many people did he talk to before? And they'll do this tracing. So this is probably a test for the future use and tremendous exaggeration of government control of peoples, every movement, not just economic movement, but medical movement, social movement. And that's what people should be concerned about. So for me, it's always the bottom line is down there, that the problems that we have like this, whether it's economics or foreign policy or medical like this, it's the whole issue of people believing and understanding what liberty is all about and have the guts to stand up for it.
Exactly. Well, I'm going to close with a bit of a good news story. You may even want to comment on it, but this is the last clip that I have. I call this a good news story because I think it is good news. If we can put up that final clip. Governor Abbott is furious. They do absolutely nothing. Governor Greg Abbott blasts local officials for inaction to enforce current orders. He's up there issuing executive orders left and right, including you better wear your face mask. And people aren't, you know, stepping up and saying, you know, 10-4, we're about to do it. And, you know, and it's unique. Texas has a unique situation. I don't know if it's unique, but, you know, when you have local elected sheriffs, they have constituency. They have people who voted for them. They're not under the governor. They respond and they answer to the people in their local, in their communities. And so we have in Texas police officials in at least 9 counties in Texas, and it's growing by the day, who said, we will not enforce this mask order the way it's written. Our concerns about overreach and overstep, we're not going to do it. And here's one, I think he will be the hero of the week. And this is Denton County Sheriff Tracy Murphy. He wrote on Facebook that, yeah, some people are mad at him, but here's what he said, quote, the order is not a law. There is no requirement that any police officer enforce it, and it's unenforceable. We can't spend our time running from place to place for calls about masks we really can do nothing about.
That is good. And I sense there's some competition going on here, some good and some bad. At the governor's level and the mayor's level, they're competing who gets to write the last regulation, and they're just wanting to know who is the ultimate authority and what can the commissioners do. But you just pointed out another competition, people who are competing not to exert power and control over people, but to argue the case, that's not my job, and the law really is on my side, that I'm not supposed to do that, and the Constitution is on their side too. So there is a discussion going on out there. There's a little bit of competition, and the more we can express that and the more people can get involved to see the difference, because the issue of liberty is important and it is part of this, and the rules are pretty clear if you look at it in a constitutional fashion, that it's not a contest between the various mayors throughout the country to find out who can be the most authoritarian. The competition should be those who understand that it's improper to exert authoritarianism unnecessarily, and those who want to obey the Constitution. So this is a charge that we have. We have to deal with this, and it gives us an opportunity to present the case for liberty, because it certainly is big government and the authoritarians and the officials who want to and enjoy this. And then there's always many, many different groups of people who have ulterior motives. That's really what's behind it. You know, whether it's union teachers don't want to go back to work or whatever. You know, that's where the real problem is, that there's people who make money off this, and people who just, you know, don't think people are smart enough to make up their own minds. And, of course, we have to give people the benefit of the doubt in a free country. And we know that free people and individuals aren't perfect and they'll make mistakes. But why should we elect some of them and put them in Washington to write all the rules for us? I never understood this, that they complain about what's going on. That's why we need big government. So the same people you complain about, put them in Washington and put them at the state houses, and they're going to make everything good. So it's something that is an ongoing crisis, because our liberties are being challenged like never before. And this past year has been astounding when you think about the collapse of the economy, when you look at the coronavirus, and when you look at the police so-called brutality and Black Lives Matter and the violence we have in the street. There's major changes going on. So we have to do our job in trying to sort this out and make sure that people understand how most of these problems can be solved just by promoting and understanding what liberty is all about. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.